Wasn't sure if there was a video that went along with that or not, but all right. I kept looking behind me thinking something was going to pop up, and it didn't. Good morning, real life.
Morning.
You guys all doing good this morning?
Yes.
All right.
T-shirt.
You like my t-shirt? Thank you. Appreciate that. It's brand new. Hey, I get the privilege of wrapping up this message series, Who We Are. And there's a lot of review that is going to come, but I'm not going to start off with review. We're going to build our way into some review of what we've been talking about these last five weeks. And so the question I have for you today, and I want you to kind of put your thinking caps on, has there ever been a team that you wanted to be a part of? Has there ever been a job that you wanted to have? Like you would go like to the most extreme to be able to be on that team to get that job. Or maybe a club that you're like, man, if I was able to be a part of this club, I'd be set. Yeah. Well, it was interesting. This week, Halloween and everything, my 16-year-old daughter came out dressed in my high school varsity baseball jersey. It took me back quite a few years. But it reminded me of the time that, man, that was my determination. I was so determined as a freshman in high school to make the JV, or not to make the JV team, to make the varsity team. Like JV, I wouldn't settle for. I was gonna do everything that it took to be on the varsity baseball team. Back in those days, and some of you may remember this, back in those days, I can't even believe I just said that. Back in those days, American Express had this thing and it said, membership has its privileges. Yeah, some of you remember. And so in high school, I remember going, man, I know that membership has its privileges being on the varsity baseball team. Because see, the varsity baseball team, they had all the great equipment, not the hand-me-downs. They got to go on tournaments and stay the night in hotels and cause chaos wherever they were. But let's be honest, as a 15, 14-year-old kid, they got all the girls. And so I was like, that's my destination, right? I want to be in the mix. But what I loved about this team is like there was a brotherhood, not only with on the team, but actually outside of that, there was a brotherhood. It was kind of like I would look at these guys and I would see them and go, they're like the guys who could walk into any restaurant and they would get the fanciest table. Right? Remember, I'm a freshman in high school, so like the world is huge to me, especially at the varsity baseball level. So I said, man, that is what I want to do. I want to become part of that team. Well, how many of you know you don't just walk onto a varsity team? You got to earn that spot. And there's things on a varsity team when you're walking into that or even the job that you want that you have to kind of put out there. You have to do your best and you actually have to sacrifice some stuff at the same time. So one of the things that we were called to do as a varsity baseball player was our grades had to be good. Oof. That was my first hurdle. All I know is I had to get the GPA to a 3.0 to be able to play. So I figured out a way to do that. Then my schedule was gonna change because they had morning practices where we did a lot of conditioning and running, strength training. And then in the afternoon, we had our normal practices. So my schedule was gonna look different. My time was gonna look different than what it had previously looked like before. But I was like, you know what? I'm all in. That's what I wanna be a part of. I wanna be a part of a winning team. Now I'm just gonna go ahead and throw it out there. I made varsity team freshman year. Go Wayne. Yes, it was really good. No, I did not get all the girls. I don't know why, but I was going to. My wife told me, she goes, you're not gonna say that. I go, well, I kinda wanna say that. She goes, I wouldn't even have dated you in high school. And for good reason. And I looked last night back into my yearbook, freshman year. Guys, don't ever do this. And I was gonna put a picture up, but I said, no, I'm not gonna do that. It was way too embarrassing. I had a mullet like down to here. Oh, guys, it was beautiful. I had like party in the back, business on top. It was great. Yeah. All right, I'm just going to ask, how many had mullets? Come on. Somebody else had mullets. Look, we got some people that had mullets. Some people have mullets right now. It looks good, man. Own it. Own your mullet. Here's what I know, guys. To be a part of a winning team, it takes quite a few things. And we're going to talk about some things, what it looks like to be a part of a winning team. And when I say winning team today, I mean Team Jesus. Okay, so just put that in your heads. Team Jesus, that's what we're talking about, winning teams. So winning teams work together for the common goal. They have a common language and they have common disciplines. Would you agree? Everyone nod your head to say agree. Okay, all right. Next thing that winning teams has is great teams have fundamentals, not just rules. They have fundamentals. There's certain things that you go back to. It's not just rules. We don't look at it as, oh, I have to catch the ball with both hands. No, it's a fundamental of baseball. It's what we do. Every team or every team member has a role on a great team. Every team member has a role on a great team. Great teams have multiple leaders. They have a coaching staff. They have other players that are leading. And the best teams have leaders who develop others and help them grow. So we're gonna kind of bounce back and forth from my varsity baseball days to current what it looks like, who we are series today. All right, let me say this. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're on the team. You're on the team. Check the box. You don't have to have perfect grades. You don't have to have it all together. You've accepted Jesus. You've placed your faith in him. You've repented of your sins. Maybe your next step's baptism. Maybe you even haven't got there yet. Guess what? You're on the team. But I also know there's people in this room that probably aren't. And my hope is at the end of this, you go, I want team Jesus. I want to be a part of a winning team. I want to be a part of a team that makes a difference. And when we talk about making a difference, we actually are talking about making a difference for not only this world, but for eternity. And that's exciting to be a part of. So point number one, winning teams work together for their common goals. So our common goal in baseball was to win, plain and simple. We wanted to win. But our coaches, they kind of went about it a different way. I had to go back and look. It says, this is the coaching staff. This is what they said. Our common goal for our baseball team was to develop men of character both on and off the field. What in the world does that have to do with baseball? But you know what? Game days, we were in suits and ties. We said, yes, sir. We walked in with our heads held high. Even if we lost, we walked out with our heads held high. There was a certain discipline. There was a certain way, an expectation of how we were to behave. And that's what we did to be a part of that team because for our coaches, it was more important to build men of character both on and off the field than just win games. So we had to learn to become men of character both on and off the field so we could win those games. We had certain requirements to be on that team. We had the same language. We'd all talk the same way. In fact, if you guys follow football at all, Pete Carroll with the Seahawks, when he came up, it was interesting. When Pete Carroll first got started with the Seahawks, their language changed. He'd go, we're going to win as a team. We're going to lose as a team. They'd lose a game and they'd go, hey, here's what we know. We know this happened and this happened. And next week, we are going to work really hard to make that happen. And their language, even in the players, started the same thing. They started celebrating each other's victories and they started encouraging each other's failures and missteps. So we get the chance to do that as well. Last week, Gabe brought a message to us. And he says, more important to grow up than show up. Do you guys remember that? All right. Four of you do. Perfect. That's awesome. It's more important to grow up than show up. So here's the deal. We're going to look into Colossians real quick. Colossians 1:28. When we talk about common goals, when we talk about being on Jesus's team, the winning team, these are things that we look at as common goals for us. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that God has given us to present them to God perfect in their relationship with Christ. Paul says, that is why I work and struggle so hard depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So we want to present mature believers. We want to present disciples of Jesus. Our vision here at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. That we're actually doing something together. Our goal, so to speak, is to reach this world for Jesus one person at a time. But it's not just to get them to come. It's not just to get them to be here, but it's to get them to grow up, not just show up. So we take these messages, we take this series that we've been doing, and we go, okay, we're gonna use these seven essentials that we talk about to grow others, to be able to evaluate ourselves as disciples of Jesus. Ephesians 4:13 says, This will continue till we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. It's not about just showing up. It's about growing up. It's about encouraging others on our team that have said yes to Team Jesus to go, okay, now what does it look like to be a disciple? How can I help? How can I encourage? How do I walk alongside of you? When you stumble, let me help you up. This is what it looks like to be on a winning team. How do we do that? We create biblical disciples in relational environments. Our kind of like stamp of approval on everything we do is we want to create biblical disciples in relational environments. 300 people in a room is not necessarily a relational environment, but our small groups, our men's, our women's groups, our ladies' night out, these are areas that people can begin to come and begin to get discipled so they can grow in their knowledge of Jesus as a disciple of his. And we take this serious and we go, this is a commitment that we make, is to create these environments so that people can grow up and people not just show up, but they can grow up. And really, I'm gonna change Gabe's phrase here in a few seconds. It's like, don't be lame, get in the game. That's where we're going, just so you guys know. Listen, I never wanted to become a high school baseball player just to be on the team. I wanted to start. I didn't want the guy sitting on the back of the bench going, coach, do I get to play today? That's not the guy I wanted to be. I wanted to be on the team so I could make a difference. And today, that's what I'm calling all of us to do, is I'm going, hey, you're on the team. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already there, you're on the team. Now, let's grow up, let's get in the game, and let's make a difference. Amen? All right. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. I'm just gonna jump into 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it continues, it says, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded, and remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are our common goals. To reach the world for Jesus one person at a time, to create biblical disciples in relational environments, and to go. It's therefore, it says, therefore go. It says, if you break that down, it says, as you go about life, go and make disciples of all nations. Everybody that we have contact with, we can begin to invest in. We can begin to share the gospel. And this is what we do together as a winning team. So for many of you that are here this morning, you're going, hey, we're get it. We're on the team. We are like, yes, we're all in Team Jesus. But maybe you're sitting there going, you know what? I'm on the team, but I've kind of been just riding the pine. For those of you who aren't sports people, that means you're sitting on the bench. Riding the pine, okay? Pine is where you get splinters. It's not fun, okay? So maybe that's you today and you're going, hey, I am all about Team Jesus, but I have not actually got off the bench. I have not got in the game. This message is for you this morning. But you may be going, you know what, Wayne, I'm not even on the team yet. I don't even know what it looks like. I'm not even cleaned up enough to be on the team. Guess what? Jesus accepts you right where you're at. Right where you are. And he comes to seek and save the lost. Those of you who do not have a relationship with Jesus, we're inviting you into this relationship with Jesus first and foremost. And when you do that, when you recognize that there's sin in your life, and when you go, man, Lord, I've been doing this my way, I wanna try your way. And when you come to that realization and you come to this place of surrender in your heart and you get down on your knees and you just go, Lord, I want you in my life. We're gonna celebrate that with you. And we're gonna go, welcome to the team. And our hope is that we see you get baptized, taking your next steps. Our hope is that you don't just settle for being on the team, but you go, man, there are so many people I know who were where I, or who are where I just was, and I wanna bring them to this team. I wanna bring them to the salvation side of knowing who Jesus is. And so guess what? This message is for you also. So guess what? I didn't miss anybody during this message. We're covered. We're covered. So again, don't be lame. Get in the game. That's what today is all about. So here's the deal. Great teams have fundamentals, not rules. This is where I'm gonna kind of unpack our message series of the last couple of weeks. So wanting to be a part of the team and being part of the team, like I said, you've got to change your behaviors. I had to change some behaviors. I had to qualify to make sure my grades were good enough. I had to learn how to say yes, sir. I had to learn how to tie a tie and wear it. I had to do some things differently for the betterment of the team, for the betterment of me, actually. I did it because of the team, but I learned a lot of lessons that were directed straight towards me. So Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, this is Paul speaking, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other and make allowances for each other's faults because I love you. This is who we become as a disciple of Jesus. These are some of the characteristics of who Jesus is in our life, just in this short couple of verses. This is what we begin to learn and begin to apply to our life, is what does it look like to be patient? What does it look like to be humble and gentle? What does it look like to encourage one another? And so as we continue to move forward and we recognize there's areas in our lives that need to be adjusted, we make those simple adjustments. Or we go to people and go, hey, this is really hard for me. I don't understand how to do this. Well, guess what? We're creating environments so that you can grow in your spiritual maturity. So if that's how we're to act, our purpose of our seven essentials is the things that we get to do as disciples. And not only do we get to do these things, but we actually get to assess these things to go, how am I doing as it lines up for me to be a disciple? How am I doing, Lord, when it comes to walking out your mission of reaching the world for you one person at a time? And so over these last 5 weeks, we've talked about abiding in Christ. We can do nothing apart from Jesus, nothing. Our entire relationship and our entire focus has to be on who Jesus is in our life, because he's the person that we're going to mirror. As we do that, our hearts become changed and we want to reach the lost. We're going to go and we're going to seek people out who are lost and who are far from Jesus. That's why every week we have an opportunity to pray for those that we're in relationship with that we know are far from Jesus. We're literally interceding on their behalf. We're going, Lord, begin to soften the heart. Create an opportunity for me to share. Give me the boldness, the confidence to go and share who you are. Then we connect the unconnected. These are people who haven't been connected to Jesus, who haven't been connected to his church. And so we do our part as we reach out to connect those people. A couple of weeks ago, Gabe talked about chasing the strays. These are people who were connected to Jesus at one point in time. They had a purpose, but they've disconnected for some reason. They've drifted from either their relationship with Jesus, their relationship with their church, or their purpose as a whole. And so we're gonna chase those people. We're gonna commit as disciples of Jesus, not just the guys on the stage, not just the staff team here at Real Life, but we as disciples of Jesus, we're gonna commit to do these things because we don't want anyone to be lost. Last week, Gabe talked about shepherding to spiritual maturity. Again, his stage from the phrase on that one was, don't just show up, grow up. It's not about just inking in. It's about growing in our maturity and our understanding of who Jesus is in our lives so that we can actually connect with his mission, connect with his heart, and begin to do what we're talking about right now. 6 and 7, I'm flipping 7 right now. 7 is gonna be ahead of 6 just for today. Don't tell anybody, it's okay. We'll make it happen. We're gonna talk about functioning as a team. That's what we're gonna talk about these next couple little points. But then as we function as a team, part of our equipping strategy is to identify, equip, and release leaders. We're not about addition. It's not for us. It's not just about, oh, we add one or two people to an environment where they can grow as disciples. To us, it's about multiplication. It's about us releasing leaders that will go and create more disciples. So it's disciples that make disciples. Does that make sense? So we're gonna talk about that a little bit out of order. Function as a team, then we're gonna sneak in the identify, equip, and release. So you today, if you're sitting there going, man, if these are the fundamentals, just take a quick inventory. If these 7 things are how a disciple is actually going about life, take inventory just in your own heart right now and go, Lord, where is it that I'm not aligned? Where is it that I'm feeling encouraged to do more of? Where is it that you want me to grow in these 7 essentials of being a disciple of Jesus so that I can make a difference in the world around me? So if that's you this morning, you're going through and just identifying, let me say this, it's a process. You don't just arrive here, it's a process. Gabe talked about being humble. Part of spiritual maturity is being humble. It's not just going in, going, I got this, I'm gonna take it all. No, it's a process of learning. It's a lifetime of learning. But we're saying we're on a team and we are gonna do this together with you. We get to do this together. Gabe and I get to do this together all the time. He got to hear me preach earlier this week on this same thing. And I'm not too proud to say, he's like, hey, try to adjust this. Hey, this, you kind of lost me in this area. We do things not so we have this completely polished presentation for you, but we do things because I still need to grow as a disciple of Jesus. I still need to grow in my understanding of who Christ is. I still need to grow in my understanding of what it looks like to present God's word to this family that we have, this body of believers, this team. And so I'm still in a spot where I get to learn, I get to be coached, and Gabe's the same way. So none of us are too prideful to go, I got this figured out. We come in humility and we place ourselves under the umbrella of leadership to go, how do we become a better disciple so that ultimately that we lead a life worthy of the calling that God has on our lives? And that's for each and every person. Look at your neighbor and go, that's for you. Now look at the neighbor you didn't look at and tell him it's for you too, right? So here's the deal. We talk about every team member has a role on a great team. So as we shift gears and we look, now we're going us individually. We each have a role on a team. When I was in high school, now I didn't ride the pine often, but there were times that I got hurt and had to be on the bench. See, now I'm being a little prideful. There were a few times I was on the bench. And even while I was on the bench during a game, you know what? I had a responsibility to my team. I had a responsibility to actually not be on the bench. Whether we were up to bat or we were in the field, we were up out of the dugout. We were there. We were cheering people on. There was times we were called on to be a base coach. There was times we were called on to be a pinch runner. There was times we were called on to, hey, go shag that ball that just, you know, foul ball that just went out and broke a windshield. Whatever it may be, we had a responsibility to our team. We just didn't get to sit there and watch them play. We had a responsibility. When they came in, we were up high-fiving. We were doing the attaboys. Baseball is big on smacking each other in the butt. That's what we did. If it held too long, we questioned things. But if it's just a quick smack in the butt, we were good. That's just an encouragement. That's what we do. That's what we did. We don't do that in church. That's probably a good thing. A little awkward to explain. But here's the deal. We all had a responsibility, whether we were in the game or in the dugout. During practice, we had a responsibility. I was a catcher. So guess what? I had a coach who would be like, hey, you're going full gear. And when everybody else is running, you're running in full gear. And so me and three other catchers would run, and then we always made it a game to figure out if we could beat the slower like outfielders and second basemen and all that kind of stuff. We would do our best to beat them as we encourage them, but we'd want to win. So, but we had responsibilities whether we were playing or not. I had responsibilities. If you did not practice, guess what? You didn't play. So which meant if you missed school, you weren't allowed to practice, which meant you didn't get to play. And like I said, I'm kind of competitive back then. I've slowed down a little bit, thank the Lord. But I wanted to play. And so guess where I was every day? I was at school. Because I had a responsibility to my team. I had a responsibility to my coaches. And so as a disciple of Jesus, we're on this team and we're encouraging you to be in the game wherever you are. Basic fundamentals of a disciple of Jesus, guys, is everyone that is a disciple is called to share their faith, connect, serve the body, be unified, both relationally and corporately. Those are like the fundamentals. If you took the fundamentals of baseball and you applied them, and we go, these are the fundamentals of every disciple of Jesus. Sharing our faith, being connected, serving the body, being unified, and doing that both relationally and corporately as a team. So the question becomes, is what is your role? Where do you see God using you when it comes to being on Team Jesus? Well, here's what we have. We have a process at Real Life that we're gonna make disciples who make disciples through a reproducible process, which we call SCMD. Gabe shared this last week. We're gonna share, connect, minister, and disciple. Somebody shared with us. Somebody connected us. Somebody ministered to us. Somebody began discipling us. And guess what? We get to do the same thing. We look at Christ's example and we go, what does it look like for me to share the Lord with other people, share the Lord and share my life? What does it look like for me to connect the unconnected? What does it look like for me to invite people, not just go, hey, we have a really cool church service that you should be a part of. You should go to it. No, like, hey, Sunday morning at 9:45 next week, because we're changing times, 9:45, I got a seat for you. And I'm gonna pick you up. We're gonna grab coffee and then we're gonna show up to church, right? And then you can minister to other people. Here's the reality. You can always disciple somebody as far as you've come. You can always disciple somebody as far as you've come. And you can begin to minister to that person, and ultimately you begin discipling them. The whole process is a discipleship process. This is not the Mr. Miyagi kind of wax on, wax off. Oh my goodness, how did this just happen? It's not that. But it literally is a process that we see Jesus model in Scripture. That we go, as disciples of Jesus, we're gonna do the same. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve others. The gift that you have is not for you. The gift that you have is for others. It's for others in the body of Christ. We talked about a few weeks ago the guitar analogy and how God gives you gifts and begins to use you, and there's an instrument that's played and makes this beautiful melody. Well, from a team side of things, we get the chance to do this together. So even if you've just given your life to Jesus, you have a part on this team. You have a part on this team. And we wanna encourage you to use the gifts that God has given you, and we're gonna use the gifts that God has given us so that we can minister to others. Romans 12, 3-8, I'm not gonna read the whole thing. It says, but here's what it says. It says, for by grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We all belong to one another when we're on this team, Team Jesus. We get an opportunity to walk life out together on Team Jesus. So the question becomes, all right, Wayne, I'm on the team, but I don't quite know what my gift is. I don't know quite what do I get to be a part of. We've got a slide up there, and it's gonna pop up here in a minute. It's here's what I would say. This is gonna help kind of identify some giftings and placement within the body. I would say this, if you don't know, start where you are. And what I mean by that is go, what are you passionate about? If you're passionate about hospitality, we're gonna connect you to people who are hospitable. If you're passionate about kids, if you're passionate about discipleship, if you're passionate about finance, we're gonna give you lots of money. No, I'm just kidding. We're gonna have you help us manage that. But here's the deal. We start where our passions are, but then there's also like, okay, well, what if I don't know what I'm passionate about? Well, guess what? What if people affirmed in you? What are some things that people have walked alongside of you and said, man, you really have a knack for this? You really, man, I see you in these environments and like you stand out. I think God's really equipped you in that. So what have you been affirmed in? And then this isn't last, this is just last on my conversation, but impact. Where do you see you having impact? Where is there a place in your life that you're already like, man, God has already given me impact in these areas? What would that look like to take that same impact, that same passion, that same affirmation and apply it to God's team, to Team Jesus? What would that look like? That's where we're asking you to start. And if you don't know, we would love to have this conversation with you. There's a connection card in the seat back pocket right in front of you. Man, just fill that out. Hey, I don't know where I fit, but I'm on the team and I wanna get in the game. We'll help you find your fit. We'll help you exercise those giftings that you have. Number four of my 5-point message, I apologize, 5 points is a lot, but I'm trying to fly through them. Great teams have multiple leaders. Listen, some are called and gifted to be leaders. There is a gifting and a calling that goes with some of the leadership that we're talking about. And part of the responsibility of other leaders in the church is to be able to identify some of those calls in people's lives and some of those giftings. But here's what we know is every mature leader has an attitude of service, whether that's works of service or whether that's building others up. It's an opportunity that you go, man, as a leader, these things are standing out. There's a desire to help others grow, and there's actual like service, works of service that are being played out by these individuals. Here's what I know, going back to my high school team. Came in as a freshman. I was the second catcher. We had a catcher who was a couple years ahead of me, and he had already had lots of time on with the pitchers. And so the newer pitchers that we were developing, I was kind of working with those guys and learning as well. And at the end of our season, we were 16-0, and we were going to state. and our number one catcher took a foul ball off of his glove and shattered his thumb. Now, the pitcher was a senior. He was a sophomore, and I'm a freshman, and I was at second base, and I bagged on second basers earlier, so I apologize to myself, but I was at second base during that game, and the coach looked over and was like, man, you're in. And now I was going to be catching our top pitcher who threw in his senior year 92 miles an hour. I'm a freshman. I was like, can we just keep it to change-ups and that would be good, right? Slow, let's go slow toss, that's fine. 92 mile an hour fastball comes quick. And all of a sudden, third inning, I'm put in as the backup catcher. And let me tell you, as I'm changing out, I'm literally shaking on the sidelines. I'm literally shaking, putting on my equipment, my gear. And my coach comes up to me and goes, Wayne, you got this. You've caught him before. Nothing's different. Just act like it's practice. Coach, it's state. Like, that's Randy. This is state. And I'm squirrely and scrawny and scared to death. And he just began to speak into me, began to speak encouragement. He began to affirm me. He began to go, you're the right guy for this. You're the guy who's going to be called to do this. Nobody else can do it. Basically, you know what he told me? Don't be lame, get in the game. That's what he told me. But he used a lot of kind words when he said it. But it encouraged me enough to go, I'll be a part of that. And that's a coach who saw something, who identified areas in my life where I was gifted, who equipped me by allowing me to take pitches from Randy, not in necessarily games, but during practice. And then who, you know what he did? He actually released me to go and do what I was called to do. But I needed that encouragement. I needed that equipping. And I needed the permission to actually go and do what he asked me to do. We lost that game. It was horrible. It was the end of state for us. I don't blame me, but you know, we just lost. Those guys were corn-fed. They were huge. We don't even know what happened. It was bad. It was bad. I don't even know where I'm at in the message right now. Point being is this, Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, now there are gifts that Christ has given to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Verse 12 says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So as pastors, we have a calling. And it actually, here's the part that always freaked me out and why I never wanted to become a pastor is it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 2 and 3, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing them with dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording over them, over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. I was like, God, I can't be an example. I don't even know what that looks like. And somebody took a chance on me. Somebody saw my giftings, my equip, and began to speak life into me and honestly, God's call over me. But then Hebrews 13 says, guess what? For all these pastors and leaders that we submit to, they keep watch over us. And now I'm one of those who keeps watch over us. And it says, those must give an account. So as pastors and leaders in his church, we have to give an account for everything that we do with his church, with his body. And so that freaks me out. But guess what? I'm along for the ride because God's equipped us, given me opportunity to do that. I said this earlier, it's not the pastors or staff. It's disciples of Jesus who are supposed to make disciples of Jesus. It's not only our responsibility, but we share that responsibility as a team. So the fifth piece is the best teams have leaders who develop others to help them grow. This is when you know I'm getting close to the end of my message because the band's up here. Don't be distracted by that. I want you to hear this is Randy, our star player, he was a senior. He was actually in his junior year being recruited by the Cleveland Indians out of high school. Randy went on to play college with Arizona State, the Wildcats. They actually won the World Series. He was a part of the World Series, College World Series team. Randy is now the coach of Cal Poly down in Southern California. They just won the World Series a couple of years ago. Randy, even as a senior in high school, had more influence over our team than most of our coaches. Because see, Randy was doing it alongside of us. Randy was calling out giftings. Randy was the one who was encouraging. Randy was the one going, hey, when you frame the ball, when I throw you a 92 mile an hour fastball and almost takes your glove off, this is how you need to frame it. I say that to say this, is Randy did not have to. Randy didn't have to coach. Randy didn't have to equip. Randy didn't have, we had coaches that did that. But the reason we became a winning team was because Randy understood and he took ownership as a disciple of baseball to invest in those around him. And that's what we're calling each of us today to do. Is if you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, we're saying, get in the game. Don't settle just for sitting on the bench. We're inviting you to a winning team that impacts eternity for those around us. It's your and my responsibility as disciples of Jesus to invest, to identify, equip, and release other people to their calling and to their giftings. As you look around this room and go, there's close to 300 people, we're getting ready to go to three services, there is no way that we can maintain the momentum that God has given us without people stepping up and getting in the game. So today, I'm literally calling you to a place of surrender, a new place of surrender. If you're in this room and you've been a disciple of Jesus and you're going, man, I've been a part of a group, and God's already speaking in your heart right now. You've been part of a group that you've been being invested in. You've been a leader in the group before, and you've kind of taken a back seat to rest and to just kind of get confidence and to get some healing. I encourage you today to go, God, how is it you want to use me for your kingdom? How is it you want me to invest into other disciples so that we can continue to see you do the miraculous work in the lives of people? Picking up in that Ephesians verse 13, chapter 4. So this will continue till we all come to such unity in our faith, knowledge of God, of God's Son, so that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the complete and full standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown from every new wind of teaching. We will not be influenced by people when they try to trick or deceive us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He who makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps others' parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing full of love. I'm asking you to be part of a team. And I know you may be thinking right now, I want to grow in my leadership. I want to step out, but maybe I feel like I'm not mature enough or I'm not ready. Let's have that conversation. Maybe you just don't think God's going to use you that way. Let someone come alongside of you and discover those passions, the impact, and bring affirmation to your life. But don't get caught just sitting on the game, on the bench. Get in the game. Take a couple of swings at the plate and see what God will do in you and through you. So that's the call today. The call today is don't be lame, but get in the game. Could just use that as a whole title of the message. Let me pray with you, because I do believe God's working in your hearts. I do believe I've had conversations with some of you that are right here. I've had conversations with some of you that are right here when it comes to even getting on the team of Jesus. And I want to pray for all of us this morning. Heavenly Father, again, thank you for the time that we've had together today. God, I pray that as your word has gone forth, God, and just planted the seed, Lord, that you would work and do the heavy lifting and the work that needs to be done to grow in people's hearts. God, we want to honor you with our lifestyle. We want to honor you with how we act and what we do. Lord, we want to be effective for your kingdom. God, it's not just enough for us to be on the team, God. We want to make a difference. We want to be available to go and minister. We want to be available to share with our neighbor who's hurting. We want to be available to connect them to purpose, connect them to you, connect them to your church. God, give us the confidence to minister to others in their time of need. Remind us of the times that people have ministered to us, God, so that we can grow together as a team. And we can see, God, your kingdom come here. We can see people's lives changed as we begin to disciple them. God, as we just take the initiative at your leading, Lord, that we would be obedient to what you've called us to do. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your people. Thank you for your church. God, I think of the many people who've invested in my life over the years who have called out giftings and called out the calling that you had on my life so that I could experience the fullness of you, that I could live a life worthy to the calling that you gave me. And God, now I pray it be so with those in this room this morning. God, that you would allow them to lead a life worthy of the calling that you've placed on their hearts. God, that they would make an impact and a difference for your kingdom. God, that they would be encouraged. They would take those next steps. And they would say, this is the team. This is the winning team. This is the only team that matters because it changes lives now and for eternity. God, we celebrate you this morning. We thank you today. God, we give you praise and glory for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with us as we worship this morning.